Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1. Today we want to look at the subject, how to get wisdom. How to get wisdom. How to get wisdom. I must make us to understand that there are types of wisdom, and this background of the types of wisdom is going to help us to be able to understand Proverbs chapter 2. So very quickly, I want us to look at the types of wisdom that we have. From the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, we get to see the types of wisdom that we have. So first of all, we have what is called the wisdom of men. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then verse 19. And secondly, the wisdom of men is talking about the wisdom of the wise. The wisdom of the wise is talking about the wisdom of sages, people who are thinkers, philosophers, you know. So people like Plato, Socrates, they are wise people among humanity. Number two, we have the wisdom of this world. Same 1 Corinthians 1 and then 20. This is talking about the orthodox and traditional wisdom. The world in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 is talking about the cosmos, the orderly arrangement. And so the wisdom of this world, the second type of wisdom, is the kind of arrangement that human beings have put in place for life to be good on this earth. Like you have to bathe yourself, you have to brush your teeth. That's the wisdom of this world. Okay? Now, number three, we have the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men. That's in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5. The wisdom of men. This one deals with the ability that human beings have. Human beings naturally can do some things. Okay, so the way by which they naturally can do some things is the wisdom of men. It is intellectual in nature, and human beings go about their lives like that. This is the kind of wisdom that fights against the spiritual, you know, the spiritual wisdom of God. For example for clarity, human beings will say that you can't help it but to practice sin. But the wisdom of God says that it's possible not to practice sin. Hallelujah. For example, believers do not practice sin, but unbelievers will be surprised that, hey, you haven't done this thing before. They are so surprised because they think it is natural with human beings. Everybody must do that. Everybody must be interested in a kind of entertainment. But when you're a believer, you live above the wisdom of men. You should live above the wisdom of men, especially when it contradicts what God wants you to do. Now, that's number three. Number four, we have the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age, the age there is aeon, and it is talking about current wisdom. Wisdom by which people will say that, well, in this modern world, this is how things are done. Okay? That some time ago, 20 years ago, we're doing that, but now we are in a different world altogether. That is the wisdom of this age. It is current wisdom. It is time-based wisdom. And then, number four, is it number four? We have the wisdom of the rulers of this age. The wisdom of the rulers of this age. This is in two parts. The first part is that it is demonic wisdom or occultism wisdom, by which we have superstition that you don't do this at this time, you don't wear this color at this time, and stuff like that. You know, it is the wisdom by which people want to rule, or people gain rulership, or they take charge over situations. So they will say that if somebody is doing that thing to you, you should maybe on Tuesday do a particular thing. You know, it borders on occultism. It borders on the false supernatural. That is the first part of it. And then the wisdom of the rulers of this age also has to do with political wisdom, by which people have dominion or rulership over other people. Okay, so political wisdom, I don't mean party politics, but people are able to give political answers just to have an upper hand, just to be able to rule. It's the wisdom of the rulers of this age, all right? That is another type of it. Actually, religion falls under this. Religion, you know, man's own way of trying to live to please God, trying to live the way that God wants him to live as a ruler, it belongs to this wisdom. Religion belongs to the wisdom of the rulers of this age. It is all wisdom that tries to give you the upper hand, that makes you rule in this current world, in this age right now. Whether it's a political answer you give to people, you know, this kind of anansi kind of wisdom and all that, you know. But the bottom line is that it is intended to make you have rulership or rule over people. The final one, fifth or so, is the wisdom of God. That is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Wisdom of this age and wisdom of the rulers of this age is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. And the final one is the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. None of the princes of this world knew, because if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So, the wisdom of God is what we are speaking about. But you need to know this type of wisdom even as we go into Proverbs chapter number 2. Now, before we do that, I want you to understand that the wisdom of God is Jesus. The wisdom of God is Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. So, Jesus Christ became, you know. In other words, when Jesus Christ came, he became for us practically God's way that we should follow. He is God's wisdom for us to lead our lives on this earth. So the wisdom of God is what we are talking about in Proverbs chapter 2. Now, if the wisdom of this of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible clearly teaches us, then all the things that the Bible says that wisdom can do in Proverbs chapter 2, we should see it in the life of Jesus when he came on earth. We should see it. Hallelujah. If God gives us a chance, we will go into that. But I want us to look at verse 1, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good part. When wisdom or Jesus enters your heart and knowledge, truth, is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to see that in this passage, the Bible is telling us one way by which we can receive wisdom. All right? It says what? It says, verse 4, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, because God gives wisdom. So, the first way of receiving wisdom from God is to what? Is to seek her as for silver. In other words, you must have a strong craving for wisdom, for Jesus, for the kingdom word. Hallelujah. Just as you have a strong craving for money. Money is able to do a whole lot of things. Practically, we have money determining what people must do. That is what wisdom, or Jesus seeking for wisdom, must also be in our lives. It must control what we want to do. Hallelujah. There are people who can sacrifice everything in order to get money. Not so. That is the way we have to seek for wisdom. We have to sacrifice for the greater treasure. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a special treasure which a man found and hid it for joy. And then he went and sold everything that he had and bought the field. That treasure, believe me, is the kingdom of God, as the Bible said, and the Lord Jesus Christ also. We need to sell everything and buy him, so to speak, and acquire him. So if people have a lackadaisical attitude towards the wisdom of God, towards getting God's direction, specific directions for their lives, it's going to be a problem. Hallelujah. Says that God gives wisdom, but he wants you to have a certain attitude towards wisdom. Why should you search for her, ask for money? Why should you crave for the kingdom word, the wisdom from above, as if it is dollars? It is because God wants us to cherish his wisdom. Many people do not cherish wisdom. They cherish money more than wisdom. But the Bible tells us clearly that wisdom is to be desired above rubies, above precious stones, above money. Hallelujah. So I want you to ask yourself, is that my attitude towards the wisdom from God? Or better still, the wisdom of God? Is that my attitude towards the kingdom word? Getting the kingdom word. The kingdom word is the word of wisdom that Jesus Christ is. He is the word of God who came from above. He is divine wisdom from above, unlike all the other wisdom that belongs to the earth and to the rulers of this earth. Jesus is God's kingdom word that is necessary for our particular lives, our peculiar lives. We get it by what? By searching for it as for hidden silver. There are people that are not around just because maybe they are tired. They are tired, and when they come, they will not get anything. You understand when I say that? Ah, what is church? When I come, I don't get anything. Some people even say that it's church what we eat. I'm talking about believers. I don't know whether you've heard it before, that we don't eat church. You tell them about the importance of church, the word of God and all that. Is church what we are going to eat? That's very pathetic. If we were sharing dollars here, wouldn't this place be overflowing? It will be overflowing. We will have problem, stampede even outside, because we are sharing dollars. But we are sharing something more than money, more than dollars. But that is the attitude of people, believers, who say that Jesus is their everything. But in practicality, Jesus is not their everything. It's part of the words of the songs that they sing. And maybe as singers, you sing it, that Jesus is my all, and he's my all, and he's my everything. He died for me. But it's just part of the words that somebody composed. It's not you. You don't take Jesus like that. But that is not the way to find wisdom. Hallelujah. It's sad that we are living in a world now that people do not cherish the reward of God. If you tell them God bless you, say you keep the thing. It's not God bless you that I will eat. Have you heard about that before? Hey, have you seen that these days people are struggling in life? People are practically struggling. I'm talking about believers though. They are practically struggling because they do not cherish the reward of God. Early this morning, somebody called me. The person had come to do something for me, you know, 2 days ago. According to what I hear, I wasn't at home when this technician came around. According to what I hear, he did something very, very small, less than 5 minutes. Showed my boy, when you have this problem with a DSTV, this is how you do it. And then he left. Out of courtesy, I say something like, oh, thank you for fixing the stuff. And I am at work, so you can pass by and all that. Just to appreciate him, I wasn't expecting that he would come to me for money. Do you understand that? Just to show that, oh, I appreciate what you did, and not to like cheat you. I just put in that proviso that you can pass around and all that. I I was expecting to hear something like, oh, pastor, oh, it doesn't matter. This one, I mean, this is a very small thing and all that. Yesterday, this person called me. I was in a meeting, in the middle of a meeting, and I told him, no, I cannot make it. I'm in the middle of a meeting. Obviously, he was around too. And then this morning, early morning, he called me again. Hey! I said, you wait, I'll get somebody to organize you. I said to myself, now people are struggling because they don't know the reward of God. There's a difference between human beings rewarding you, me coming to fix my thing for you, and me taking money and giving you, and then God rewarding you. If you are so, you know, right conscious, I have worked, this is what I eat, and so I should get this, and you will rid yourself of the reward of God. That is where you are struggling, because now you want to do everything yourself. There is nothing like God will look upon it and God will open a door for you. And God does that. That is the way he rewards. When men do not give you your due, get ready, because God is going to open you a door and give you such a reward that human beings, their reward doesn't compare. But when you crave for and get all the rewards you have to get from human beings, the Bible says that you lose the reward of God.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
That is how come people struggle and struggle, and their life is full of struggle. There is nothing like God's provision. You understand that? God opening a door for maybe the person to have a very big contract. Wow. I was in a meeting this morning when the person called me. So I said, look, I'm going to send somebody to bring you something, you know? And so I said to the people I was in the meeting with that these days, people do not respect that, oh, let me do something for somebody and let me say, it doesn't matter. Let me just walk away, take my transport and go away. Because then you put yourself in a position for God to bless you. Hallelujah. And he will bless you in ways, people. When I said that, somebody gave me an illustration. He said, look, before I entered the workplace, got this job that I'm doing, I was working with a rural bank, and there was this man who had a saw, and an old man was going to nurse the person. The old man was very old to come and nurse the person. So he said that he took upon himself that he's going to pick the medicine from that old man, you know, and come to this sick person and nurse the saw. So after work, he will go and nurse the saw. And then one day, this man with the injury said that, look, they are going to pick some people and bring your application. You understand? And then that is how I entered the bank. Just by service to humanity, just by helping. I said, this guy, he doesn't know I can help him and even change his life and change the life of his family. He doesn't know. They take you like, well, I have done the deal. You too, you must do your part. There is nothing like doing it for the person to be obliged to do something wild for the person. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to crave for wisdom, for God's reward, more than even for silver and gold. More than for silver and gold. Says that if you look for it, if you look for wisdom, if you look for the kingdom world like you look for money, you will find it. Hallelujah. That's the first way of getting wisdom from God. Hallelujah. When God sees your attitude that you are craving for it, he will open a door for you. He will give you such a spirit that you will always not lack his wisdom for your specific situation in your life. You look back and you see that all the things God gave me, wisdom. Wisdom. Hallelujah. Wow. And it's powerful. It's powerful. Wonderful. That's the first way. The second way is to ask for wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 is to ask for wisdom. It says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask from God. Please understand that the book of James was written to Jews. I hope you know that. You have to know who various books of the Bible was written to. So go to the book of James chapter 1. And then we will read the very first verse. It says that James, a born servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. So these people that James is writing to, they are Jewish people. They could be believers, they could be unbelievers. In the book of James, you say some things are said to unbelievers in it, like cleanse your heart, you sinners. You know, it doesn't mean that he's calling believers sinners, but this thing was written to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, from the age of 5, Jewish people learn the Torah. They know God's law in and out. But James writes to them, and he tells them in the preceding verses, he tells these people who know the word of God from the age of 5, he tells them, my brethren, count it all joy. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Hallelujah. So these people who know the word of God, these people who know God from their culture, from their infancy, he tells them to ask for wisdom. If you lack it, ask for wisdom. Because the kind of knowledge that they had about God was a religious type. It wasn't of the kingdom. So when he said that, ask for wisdom from God, he's telling these Jewish people that the religious knowledge that you have is not enough. Ask for Jesus. He is the kingdom word. You need the kingdom word so that there will be glory in your life. It is a hidden wisdom God has ordained for our glory. And that is what he was telling them. So this thing, this scripture, goes for every believer. If you are a believer, you can know the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. You can know the Bible inside and out. But the issue is that, do you have the revelation of Jesus? Do you have the kingdom word? Or it is the religious word that you have? He's telling them, when you ask for the kingdom word, you ask for Jesus, because he is God's wisdom, God gives to all men. Whether you are a believer or you are an unbeliever, you need Jesus. Hallelujah. Believers need Jesus to dwell in their hearts by faith. Unbelievers need Jesus to dwell in their hearts. The Bible says some things will happen to us if wisdom enters your heart. And knowledge or truth, which is Jesus, enters your mind. Something will happen to you. And I will show you that. So, I want us to see that all of us, we need to ask God for the kingdom word. The kingdom word is the kind of word that I heard some time ago. Let me just give you an example. Some time ago, when I was praying for somebody I should get married to, I was praying with this prayer partner of mine, and we were speaking in tongues. We were really on fire, speaking seriously, sweat all over. And then suddenly God stopped me. Let me describe how it is. I haven't experienced it before, but I couldn't speak in tongues anymore. It's like God was telling me, shut up. And then he spoke to me, the person. And I stopped my friend. I said, so and so, God has spoken to me about the person. I said, who is it? And then I mentioned my wife. I said, yes. Yes, he wanted God to talk to me about it. Hallelujah. That's very wise. That's very powerful. You know? So wonder when I told my wife, because it was a kingdom word, guess what? Everything was cool. Hallelujah. Wow. That is what I'm saying. That we need specific kingdom word for our specific situation. Otherwise, we'll be proposing to every lady we see. Man, we propose every lady we see. If you lack wisdom, ask for the kingdom word, because it is ordained for your glory. Hallelujah. Your struggles will be over. The third way of acquiring wisdom is in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20, and it is walking with the wise, walking with wise people. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. It's just straightforward. If you walk with wise people, you are going to have the spirit on them rub off on you. Walking with them is not necessarily saying that you must befriend them and then let them like you, and then when they are taking a stroll, you are walking with them. That's literal. He's just talking about the fact that if you associate with wise people, who are these wise people? They are people who have the kingdom word. If you associate with them, not physically necessarily, because they can be far away from you, but you can get materials that they speak about. You can get their books. You can get their tapes. And you can soak a certain spirit into you. The spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. That's why he says that if you walk with wise people, you will be wise. Because even with the secular wisdom or the other four other types of wisdom that I described, it is the same way. When you walk with people who are wise in the wisdom of this age, that's how you are going to be. If you walk with people who know Jesus, something is going to rub off on you. Who have the spirit of wisdom, something will rub off on you. You take their materials, you read, something will rub off on you. Hallelujah. So that is the third way. The fourth way of getting wisdom is by the laying on of hands. Deuteronomy 34 and then verse 9. The Bible says that Moses was full of the spirit of wisdom, or rather I should say Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. Hallelujah. Moses had laid his hands upon Joshua, and the Bible says by the laying on of the hands of Moses, the spirit of wisdom entered Joshua. No other way except by the laying on of hands. So by the laying on of hands, you can have wisdom imparted unto you. I should say the spirit of wisdom imparted unto you. Now with the spirit of wisdom, there you will have wisdom or the kingdom word springing up because you have the spirit of it. There you go into a situation, you pick the Bible, and because you have the spirit of Christ, not the Holy Spirit, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of wisdom, what is going to happen is that Jesus is going to be manifest unto you. It is the spirit of Christ, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, is it verse 10 or so, who manifests the sufferings of Jesus and the glories that follow. The spirit of Christ in the prophets manifests the glories of Jesus and then the earlier suffering on the cross. In other words, the spirit of Christ reveals Christ. Moses or Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. Hallelujah. These are some of the ways that you can get wisdom. You can get the kingdom word entering every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. If the kingdom word, in other words, wisdom for your particular situation enters, there is glory, much, much glory. Hallelujah. I remember some time ago, people were pushing me to do something, take up a position. Actually, it went so high up that the very top were asking me indirectly through somebody. And for about 3 times, I said, no, no, no. And they didn't understand. It was all over the place. Why don't you take up this position? You are capable of it. You've been doing it. Operationally, the thing, you are doing the thing. You can do it. And all that. Back, I said, no. I said, no. This is about 4 years ago or so, 4 or 5 years ago. I said no to it because I believe that the time was not ripe. Now, about 2 years ago, the time was ripe. Actually, when somebody came to take up that position, the person said, why didn't you take it? It's like you have worried us. If you are taking it, maybe I wouldn't have been brought all the way to come and handle this. Why don't you do it? So this time, 2 years ago, they didn't consult me. Nothing. They just put it there, pine. Do it. But I believe that that was a tie. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful because you don't struggle. I mean, work to serve Ghana is so big. Now, if you struggle for one way of serving Ghana, I don't know what you want. It's like God's work. God's work is so big. Unless you don't know God's work, what he wants to do on earth. If you know God's work, not your work, work that only God can do. If you know God's work, you won't struggle for one work of God. I hope you understand that. Because it's so big that everybody can do God's work. I mean, in your own way, you can do it without necessarily getting a certain position and things like that. But you need to have the spirit of wisdom, the kingdom word in you. So I'm just there, and people will call you and they will say, oh, how they respect you and how these people respect you. People literally come, how they respect you. You go to some places outside, you know, the work environment. You go there, you go and meet this man, and you see that the people respect you big time. And you wonder, wonderful it is that you must take things in their season. Hallelujah. Because something, you see, men can reward you. Men can say this and that. But you must be able to see wisdom of God for your life, your particular life. Hallelujah. Which has to do with the time you have to do certain things in certain ways. When it reaches, you don't sweat it. You don't have any problem. There is no stress. God who put you there is going to be with you. And things work. And people literally say that, look, do you see what is happening here? It is this person. Glory is ordained for us if we walk with Jesus. If we walk in the kingdom way with the wisdom of God. Let's go and look at Proverbs. We want to finish the whole of Proverbs chapter 2 today. Now let's look at verse 12. He tells about you getting wisdom, and by that you look at verse 9, then you will understand righteousness. Do you know there are many believers who don't understand righteousness? Because they don't know Jesus. Because they don't understand that Jesus, oh hallelujah, is their righteousness. They don't understand righteousness. They still struggle. They still struggle with the devil, with sin. But Jesus will settle you in righteousness. Wonderful. So he talks about the benefits. When wisdom enters your heart, Jesus enters your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul or to your mind. It affects your will and your emotions. His truth is now working inside of you. Do you understand verse 10? Wisdom is in your heart, and knowledge, that is Jesus as truth, is pleasant to your will, your mind, and your emotions. You let him affect your will. You let him affect your emotions. You let him affect your mind. His kingdom word is affecting your mind right now. He says that discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion Offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.